محمد وآل محمد. وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. Respected Sheikh Osama, brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. We'd like to welcome everybody and thank everybody again for coming out. So we are now in weekend two, inshallah, of our Shah Ramadan program. We just concluded the commemoration of the wafat of Sayyida Khadija, and inshallah we'll be here for the next three nights to continue Sheikh Osama's lecture series, which is lessons from the life of Prophet Yunus alayhi salam, maintaining emotional and mental well-being. So we have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of this week, and inshallah we'll be continuing those lectures. And then on Tuesday, May 21st, we will have a potluck iftar together, commemorating the birth of Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam. And inshallah we'll follow up with some details about how we're going to coordinate bringing the food and all of that information. So inshallah, to begin the program, we will welcome Brother Ahmad Bazid to bless us with recitation of the Holy Quran. If we can welcome him with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
صلى على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن ألف لام ميم. أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. ولقد فتنا الذين من قبلهم فليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا وليعلمن الكاذبين. أم حسب الذين يعملون السيئات أن يسبقونا ساء ما يحكمون. من كان يرجو لقاء الله فإن أجل الله لآت وهو السميع العليم. ومن جاهد فإنما يجاهد لنفسه إن الله لغني عن العالمين. والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لنكفرن عنهم سيئاتهم ولنجزينهم أحسن الذي كانوا يعملون. ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه حسنا وإن جاهداك لتشرك بي ما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما. إلي مرجعكم فأنبئكم بما كنتم تعملون. والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لندخلنهم في الصالحين. صدق الله العلي العظيم. أفلح من صلى على محمد وآل محمد.
Thank you, Brother Ahmad. If we can give him another loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Inshallah, with that, we'd like to welcome Samahat al-Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani to begin his lecture with three loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. So dear brothers and sisters, right now we are discussing the fall from grace for Nabi Yunus, his stunning fall from grace. So where we're at now in the story is this, that the middle of Shawwal, that Wednesday in the middle of Shawwal has passed, and it passed without incident. Nabi Yunus saw how those clouds were gathering. The adhab was supposed to happen. But then the people did something that Allah wanted everybody to do. Those people, for the first time in history, we haven't had this before this, they all collectively turned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they made tawbah. And Allah lifted the punishment from them. And that's what Allah wants. Allah is always looking that people will go back to Him, that they will turn back to Him, not give up on themselves. And you'll notice when we look in the ayat of the Quran that Allah, you discover from the ayat of the Quran, Allah is a God of second chances. He gives people a chance again. He knows people will mess up. They'll do dumb things. They make mistakes. But He wants them to come back to Him. We have in one of the ahadith that Allah revealed to Nabi Dawood, He says, Ya Dawood, O Dawood, لَوْ يَعْلَمُ الْمُدْبِرِينَ عَنِّي If those who are running away from me, if they knew كَيْفَ انْتِذَارِي لَهُمْ وَرِفْقِي بِهِمْ If they knew how much I was longing for them, how much I wished that they would come back to me, وَشَوْقِي إِلَى تَرْكِ مَعَاصِيهِمْ How much I love that they would stop committing sins, he says, لَمَاتُوا شَوْقًا إِلَيْ They would have died just knowing how much I, God, care about them. They would have died. Then he says, okay, so what about if somebody's trying then? They made mistakes, but they're trying. This is what Allah says, Ya Dawood, هَذِهِ إِرَادَتِي فِي الْمُدْبِرِينَ عَنِّي This is how I feel about those who are running away from me, those who don't want anything to do with me. فَكَيْفَ إِرَادَتِي فِي الْمُقْبِلِينَ عَلَيَّ How do I feel then about those people who are trying, who do care, who are making effort. So Allah subhanahu wants us to use this as an opportunity, these days and nights of the month of Ramadan, instead of giving up on ourselves, our situations, the problems, things we're going to, that we keep going back to Him and believing that He can change things for us. Now what happens is, Nabi Yunus though, he didn't know about this. All he saw was that the adhab is coming down, they're going to be eradicated, and then all of a sudden I see that no, they're not punished. They say Nabi Yunus asked, what happened to the people? And we learn from hadith, well, brothers and sisters didn't hear this one, but in the hadith it says that Allah deliberately didn't tell him that they had made tawbah and that they had come back to him. Allah wanted to teach him a spiritual lesson. Allah let it play out. So Nabi Yunus was furious with these people. He was done with them. These people, so wicked, the punishment of Allah didn't come. Nabi Yunus left and didn't even look back. The Quran tells us what happens next. This is in Surah Anbiya, verse number 87. It says, "Wadhannun," and the man of the whale, "idh dhahaba mughadhiban." Remember when he left furious. "Fadhanna an lan naqdira alay." He thought that we wouldn't exercise power over him. The Quran tells us in Surah 37, Surah Safat, verse number 140, another part of this story. It says, "Idh abaqa ila al-fulkil mashhoon." When he went or he escaped, the word that they use in Arabic, abaqa, this is what happens when a runaway slave is running away from his, a slave is running away from his master, a runaway slave, they use that word. So he fled like a runaway slave and he went to the laden ship. So what happens is, it's a small boat, but it's full. There are already passengers on the boat, and Nabi Yunus gets in the boat, and at first things were good. They're out there sailing, alhamdulillah, we're moving. And then suddenly something strange happens. A large whale appears. And the thing is that normally when you see something like this, a natural disaster, as they say, the first thing is to try and escape, try and find an alternate route. But they could tell this whale wanted somebody. He's blocking the way, opened his mouth, no getting away. I was looking at the words and I'm trying to find the correct translation for it based on this one thing. It sounds something like this, that even maybe the whale's bumping the boat, right? So these guys are now panicked. Imam Baqir says at this stage, the captain of the boat said, "We've got someone amongst us the whale wants. We've got a matlub amongst us." Nabi Yunus volunteered. He stood up, he said, "I'm the one." He got ready to throw himself off the boat, save everybody else, because they were forced to make a hard choice. The whale won't leave them alone. They'll have upset the whole boat, get everybody gone. Or one person, we throw one person, he gets eaten, the rest escape. Nabi Yunus volunteered. But as mentioned over there, the other guys on the boat, they grabbed Nabi Yunus. They said, "No, don't go." They decided to draw lots. And it said that they drew lots three times. And all three times it came in Nabi Yunus' name. And then at that stage, then they threw Nabi Yunus overboard. So this is again Surah Safat, verse number 141. "Fasahama fakana min al-mudhadin." He drew lots with them, but then he lost. It came out in his name. It says what happens next. The next verse is this: "فَالْتَقَمَهُ الْحُوتُ وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ." And then the whale swallowed him while he was blameworthy. So the whale swallowed him whole while he was blameworthy. Now the beautiful thing about Nabi Yunus, and you're going to see this in his story, is his relationship with God and how good he thinks of God. Instead of him thinking badly of God, immediately he got it. Immediately he realized, "This is my fault. This is my problem." And he turns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Listen to the verses of the Quran. I'm going to go first to verse number 68, and then after that to Surah Anbiya to try and give us a more clear picture. The first verse, Surah 68, verse number 48, it says, "Fasbir." Be patient. Don't rush. Be patient. "Fasbir li hukmi rabbik." You wait for the command of your Lord. "Fasbir li hukmi rabbik wa la takun ka sahib al hut." Don't be like the companion of the whale. Don't be like Nabi Yunus. "Idh nada wa huwa makdhum." He called out and he was choking with grief. So upset with himself. You'll see from the story, it's not that he started to blame God, blame the people, deflect. He realized he made a mistake. Surah Anbiya, Surah 21, verse number 87, this is what it says. Fanada fi dhulumat. He called out in the darkness. An la ilaha illa ant. I only have you. I have no God but you. Subhanaka. You are free from all blame. You are immaculate. You're perfect. I serve a good God. Inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin. It was my fault. I was one of the dhalimin. I was one of the oppressors. So there's many powerful lessons, obviously, in all of these different verses, things that we can get out of this, inshallah, as we continue on our journey to meet our beloved, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll go over some of these reminders. I'm hoping they can be reminders for myself first, but also for the mu'mineen and mu'minat. One of the situations, let's go back to the story. Nabi Yunus saw that somebody has to be sacrificed. Everybody's not going to make it. One person has to be thrown out. It's a hard choice. Nabi Yunus volunteers. Nabi Yunus volunteers. You see why Allah made him a leader. Right? If you look at our scholars, alhamdulillah, Allah blessed us with wonderful scholars. I'm talking about in the course of the revolution. They went over and they looked at the numbers of shuhada that they had and the fields that they were in. How many of them were doctors? How many of them were lawyers? How many? The different fields. The majority of them were our scholars. They were the first ones to go over and put themselves in danger. I'm not talking about as in numbers, as in total shuhada, but out of the people, when you looked and see percentage-wise, the ones who would go over and put themselves in the line, it's them. Where do we learn this? From our anbiya, like Nabi Yunus, the first person to go over. If there's danger, if there's difficulty, if one person has to go, if it's a hard choice, instead of it being difficult, I first volunteer myself to go over and dive overboard so everybody else can be saved. So our responsibility, or our thing that we want to do, the lesson, and I want to quote the hadith about it, is the idea that once our taklif becomes clear, once it's clear what Allah wants, we're not going to be hasty, fasbir, we're patient. But then once it's clear what Allah wants, what our responsibility, at that stage, be brave and go forward. At that stage, once it's clear, be brave and go forward. There's two types of approaches to life. Some people, once their taklif becomes clear, they'll still do their taklif, but they're nervous. They're worried. They're terrified of the outcome. Sometimes nervous about the enemy. The problem seems too big instead of God being too big. The problem seems too big. But there's other people. Once the taklif is clear, once we know what we're supposed to do, I'm going to do it, but I'm going to be brave. Those people who do their responsibility, their taklif, but they're brave, there's a different result to those people who do their responsibility, but they're trembling on the inside. You know what Imam Ali says about this? Hadith. You leap into danger for the sake of truth. You leap into the dangers for the sake of truth. And we see this, I told you about our scholars. Alhamdulillah, Allah went over and blessed them. Where did they learn it from? Imam Khomeini. Imam Khomeini was that person who didn't fear anyone. Never. And you've heard that story about the time of the Shah and how he said Wallah and these things. The leader said one time, in a private gathering, sitting down, I'm speaking to Imam Khomeini, explaining something to Imam Khomeini, and he said, the words I used were this. I told Imam Khomeini, the reason you took this particular stance was because you were afraid that, for instance, the armed forces wouldn't cooperate. He said, as soon as I said, the reason you took this stance, well, because you were afraid, Imam Khomeini stopped him right there. He said, he didn't even let him finish the sentence. He said, I'm not afraid of anything. I'm not afraid of anything. When it comes to here, my taklif is, I do that. No fear. So what happens is, again, Imam Khomeini was like that. He inspired a nation to be like that. I want to tell you a story about Shahid Ahmad Kazemi. Shahid Ahmad Kazemi and the brothers, they're going over, they're carrying out an operation. When they come to the operation, you know, operations you have to go over, you only have a certain period of time. The element of surprise has to be there. They come rushing over to the area. We've already, alhamdulillah, had our reconnaissance done. We're supposed to go over and attack. When they go to attack, They see a minefield that hasn't been cleared. There's a minefield that hasn't been cleared. So they know what they need to do. Shahid Ahmad Kazemi says, who is a volunteer to run over the mines? 40 people got up. 40 of the mu'mineen said, me. He said, what's going on? I don't need 40 people, I need 4. Out of those brothers, he only chose 4. Now, one of the brothers, he got a chance, inshallah, brothers and sisters get a chance to go to Iran, and then you go to a place called Behisht-e-Zahra, where they buried the martyrs. Sometimes if you go over there, if you ask, if you have connections, they'll show you battle footage. I want you to just be able to describe what it's like, the battle footage. One of the brothers got a chance to go over there, and he saw this battle footage where the brothers came over to one of these areas. There was a minefield. What are we going to do? We don't have time. Brothers volunteered. The brothers who volunteered, they said they would be prostrating in sajda of shukr, thanking Allah for the opportunity, felt so lucky. So now, back to our own situation. The brothers, he selects 4, the ones who aren't married, don't have children, these, you go. The brothers go running. The guy who's telling this story is an old man. He says, I was sitting, and I see the 4 go running off towards the minefield. He says, we're sitting waiting to see, because you know when they go to run to the minefield, they go and they jump face forward to land, take out as many mines as they can. If they don't get blown up, go again, right? So we're seeing them. He says, all of a sudden we see one guy come running back towards us. He said, when we saw the guy come running back towards us, he said, oh, he must have gotten scared. Listen to the taqwa. The guy come running back, he said that, look, I got these boots the other day. These are new, fresh boots. I want somebody else to use these. They're still good boots. No need for them to get wasted. And then he took off. So what happens is, once it becomes clear what our taklif is, brothers and sisters, then the idea of volunteering, doing the heavy lifting, offering ourselves in the way of God. So that's one of them. The next one, reminder for myself first, and then all of you, brothers and sisters, is the idea of turning back to God and disappointments. Turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we're disappointed, when we've made mistakes, when things aren't going as well. Nabi Yunus, in our story, he realized immediately this is because of my mistake. But instead of getting bitter towards God, blaming everybody else, his first thing was to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll see later when we look at the actual verses, how he was this kind of person who always thought good of God. Always thought good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So some people are like that. They get disappointed. They see they're in a difficult situation. But immediately the thought is, I have a good God. God's on my side. God's going to help me out. I heard a story. It's not true. They said once that there was this lady and she was at work and she got a call from the babysitter. And the babysitter said that your little daughter is very sick. You need to come home early. You've got to go to the pharmacy and get some medicine for your daughter. She's got to... So he said, oh, that's fine. She went over, came home early from work, went over to the pharmacy. And in her haste, she rushed to the pharmacy, got the medicine. She came back and she saw she had locked her keys in the car. So she's like, subhanAllah, now what do I do? She called the babysitter. She said, my keys are locked in the car. What do I do? She said, I don't really know, but what I think you should do is get like a hanger or something, try and get it and open up the window and get the keys out. So she looked around. She saw a rusty hanger. She started trying to do it, but she had never broken into a car before. She didn't know how to do it. She's at the same time, her baby's sick. What do I do? She started calling on God and asking God to help her. Please, God, send me somebody. Just at that time, our car pulled up. And this older, scraggly, older guy got out with tattoos, skull cap. Didn't look like a very nice guy. He said, lady, can I help? She said, well, maybe you can. My car's stuck. I can't get the keys out. The man went over and he took the hanger and very quickly he opened the door. In a minute, she was back in the car. She said, thank you so much. I appreciate you. Thank you, God. Such a wonderful man. He said, lady, I'm not a wonderful man. I'm a very bad man. I just got out of prison for car theft. Now she was even more happy. She said, thank you, God, you sent me a professional. So some people are like that, always looking for the good in the situation. Allah's on my side. What can Allah do to help me? How will Allah save me? I remember hearing this from Sheikh Panahian recently, meaning this is through television, heard it from him recently. And he was talking about those people, this is in a clip that they had, those people who go through life thinking they don't have anybody kind behind them looking out for them. Grow up cynical. Me against the world. There's nobody kind in my life. Nobody cares about me. And talking about how these kind of people normally turn out to be terrible people. It's nobody else. It's me against the world. As opposed to that person who grows up knowing somebody loves me. When he was explaining this concept, he talked about the importance of the first 7 years for children to feel that their parents love them, care for them, there to take care of their needs. We learned from some of the ahadith, and the Sheikh pointed this out. They're learning about God through us. Their understanding of how God is. Do I serve a kind God, a good God? Does God love me? Because the person who they can see who's taking care of their needs, cares about them, are their parents. They're learning about God. So if we can be like that, then that's going to really help. Then you start talking a little bit, and this applies to the Western civilization. Let's say I'm like that, right? Look at how different it can be. There's some people who believe Allah's going to provide for me. Allah's looking out for me. Allah has my best interests in heart. There's some people who are like that, and then this person goes to work. There's some people who work because I'm not going to make it. The world's rough out there. So there's one person who goes, there is nobody out there. I gotta survive. I gotta do what it takes. There's another person who's like, no, Allah's gonna provide for me. Allah looks out for me. Allah's kind. But you know what? My good God, he doesn't want to see me doing nothing. He's given me talent. I'm creative. I have something to offer. Right? There's one time when I'm going over out of the goodness of God I'm working. There's another time I'm working because of how suspicious I am of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's really important for us to keep, especially in times of disappointment, reminding ourselves, like Nabi Yunus, where he says, subhanaka, there is no good, I have a good God, there's no one but you. The same way that we think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we have those why God moments. Right? Sometimes we get overwhelmed with it, walaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, with those difficulties that we're facing. And sometimes shaitan whispers us, sometimes even the best people have why me, God. They have those moments. This month we've been the guest of Shaheed Ibrahim Hadi. He had one of those moments. He's telling his story. He says, when I was a very young boy, you know, his father passed away when he was very young. So they were talking about the idea of youth and how important it is for youngsters to be offering prayer and placing importance on prayer, these kind of things. And at this time, he tells a story. He said, because his father died, he was very young. He said that night, after everybody left, everybody had come to give condolences and stuff like that, he said that I went to bed. I was so upset. I went to bed and I was angry with God. He said, I didn't even offer my prayers. I went to sleep. He said, when I went to sleep, at that time, I closed my eyes. I see my father in a dream. Never forget. He says, my father came in, opened the door to the house, and came over and looked at me directly. Came to my room, and he said, for a few seconds, he was just looking at me, furious. He said, I woke up from my dream immediately. He said, my father's look said a whole bunch to me. Immediately, said the time for prayer hadn't even become qadha yet. It hadn't become qadha yet. I went over, I made wudu, and I offered my prayers. So some people use those why God moments to turn back to Allah instead of getting bitter with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the next reminder, which is another beautiful reminder that we get from this verse, is the reminder of hope. No matter how bad the situation is, somebody could be like Nabi Yunus. The punishment, and again, it was because of his high spiritual station. We can't even imagine how lofty, how elevated his spiritual station was with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that small infraction, again, he did not commit sin. There wasn't even an express order. He just went against the spirit of the law and left without permission. Later when we cover the verses of the Quran, for that infraction, because Allah's expectation from his anbiya is so high, he deserved to be in the belly of the well until the day of judgment. He was blameworthy. The anbiya are perfect ibad of Allah, servants of Allah. They don't spaz out. They don't make... So for him, he turned back to God. He did blame himself. But even then, in the belly of the well, you see how he's calling out to God. I serve a good God. And the lesson for us is that even in the belly of a whale, there's hope. No matter how much has gone wrong, how many mistakes we've made, what other people are thinking, God chose you, God threw, may you get thrown off the boat. You're the, no matter what anybody else is saying, there's hope. And we have to keep that in mind when we're in situations that seem unbearable, unbelievable. There's no way out. There's no earthly, worldly solution. I want to give a dua that when it looks like the world is completely, every door is locked, because we don't want to limit the power of God or think that God can't. This situation is too complicated. Nobody can get me out of this situation. I heard another story that's not true. They said once this guy was walking on a beach. When he was walking on a beach, he came over it and he came to a bottle and he kicked the bottle. And when he kicked the bottle, a genie came out. But the genie was a little grumpy. Genie told him, he said, look, I've heard that stuff. Genies, three wishes. You don't get three wishes. You only get one. Make it quick. So he said, one wish? He said, yeah. He said, you know, I've always dreamed of going to Hawaii. I just really would love to go to Hawaii, but my problem is I get seasick. You know what I want, genie? I want you to make a bridge from here to Hawaii. And then I can go over, I can drive over, and I won't get seasick. And the genie said, that's impossible. A bridge from here to Hawaii over the Pacific? No. Think again. Another wish. Think again. So then the man thought again. He said, He said, I've been married four times and divorced four times. And my wife's always told me I was insensitive. I didn't understand them. I don't get it. So you know what I want, genie? I want to understand women. Why they cry. Why they say nothing happened when really something happened. I want to understand them. There was a long silence. And the genie said, you want to make that highway two lanes or four? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not limited. It's nothing difficult that Allah says, no, I can't do this. No, Allah can do anything. You know what we're told in our ahadith? When it comes to hope, some of the urafa would repeat this. Meaning repeat this hadith, but they would teach this to their students. Meaning I heard it from the students of these urafa, the hadith for the first time. The hadith says this. Imam Ali says, kun lima la tarju. Arja lima tarju. He says that expect the unexpected more than you expect the norm. Allah is so powerful. No matter what the situation, how long, difficult, expect the unexpected more than you expect the norm. God can do all things. We have in that beautiful dua, I heard this for the first time, the leader sang this dua of Imam Mahdi. The dua of Imam Mahdi is this. Ya man. So this is good for those people who are going through situations and looks impossible. No way to fix the situation. Hadith, is the dua is this. Ya man idha tadayaqatil umur. Talking to God, addressing God. O he who when things become impossible, fatahalana baban. You open a door for us. Lam tadhhab ilayhi al-awham. It didn't even cross the human imagination that this could be a solution. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has more. We do what our part is. We keep pushing, we keep trying, we explain, we fight, we struggle. But knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do it, we expect the unexpected more than we expect the norm. And the last lesson, brothers and sisters, is the lesson of looking inward instead of being militant when it comes to mistakes. There's some people who always deflect. Some people, they don't know how to look inward and say, what is my role in my misery? What can I do that's constructive? Instead, I blame other people. This person did this, because of my past, because of how I was raised, because of everything. They always come up with an excuse. Right? The society's like this. Remember a brother? There was a brother on Mars, and this brother was, I'm not saying I remember him. There was a brother on Mars, and he was a drug dealer. He was a drug dealer. And so then the brother's like, Astaghfirullah, you can't be a drug dealer. What are you doing? You know what the brother said? He said, you see what the white man got me doing? Instead of me blaming myself, that I'm doing. So, what happens is, the way that Allah wants us to be is to not be militant. Let's look inward. It's true, sometimes there are factors, things that have led to, but what's my role? You know what stops this? Sometimes it's the trait of ujub. Ujub, brothers and sisters, is when we get impressed with ourselves. I'm impressed with myself. Someone who's impressed with themselves, they can't look outward. They can't look inward. Everything is somebody else's fault. I'm good. I'm holy. I'm pious. Instead of being like Nabi Yunus and looking inward. And saying, because you see what he did. He didn't go over and say, it was the people, those wicked people, 33 years of my life they wasted. He didn't blame God for not telling him. I didn't know they made Tawbah. He didn't blame anyone else. Inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin. I'm one of the oppressors. You're good. Subhanaka. You're good. So what happens is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see that kind of an attitude. Brothers and sisters, remember when we were preparing ourselves for the month of Ramadan? During the month of Ramadan, some of those du'as, the meanings that are in those du'as are so beautiful. There's one line of a du'a that I just want to recite for brothers and sisters. It helps us to, we read this all the time in du'a kumail, meaning similar refrain. Other du'as before the month of Ramadan, now for the month of Ramadan, similar refrain. But listen to this particular line. We tell God this. وَإِنْ أَدْخَلْتَنِ النَّارِ O Allah, even if you make me enter the hellfire, أَعْلَمْتُ أَهْلَهَا أَنِّي أُحِبُّكَ If you put me in hell, I'm burning in hell, eternal punishment, chastisement, even in hell, I'm going to proclaim to the inhabitants of hell, I serve a good God. I love him, even if I'm in hell. I don't get bitter with God. God's good. Maybe I make mistakes. Maybe I have problems. And what happens, brothers and sisters, is we learn that this thinking good of God, repeating that God is good, is a source of salvation. A source of salvation. In the books of Akhlaq, one of the sections that they cover is the idea of always thinking good of God. And they tell us to be practical about it. They tell us, you do your responsibility, you do your part. We're not saying just commit sins. No, you do your part. No. But in the end, do I think good of God? Do I think Allah will save me? Is Allah on my side? Do I love God? If I can, it's a savor. One of the hadith that's mentioned in some of those books is this. It's about the day of judgment. That the sixth imam says that the last person on the day when everybody's giving account, the last person will be brought forward. Allah will do the hisab, the account of this person. And then it says, "Inna akhira abdin yu'maru bihi ila an-nar." That last servant who was there, he's going to get commanded
drag him off to the hellfire.
And as he's being dragged off to the hellfire, the hadith says he's looking back. Being dragged off to the hellfire, but he's looking back. So Allah asks, he says, why are you looking back? He says, I didn't think that you were going to do this. I had a different expectation. If I was going to paraphrase the words of the hadith, that, you know, I'm the last guy on the Day of Judgment hoping, you know, a little rahmah, a little mercy. Because of that husnudhan and thinking good about God, he's going to be saved. Because of that husnudhan. We ask Allah by the right of Muhammad wa al-Muhammad that we're able to be people who think good of God and know that we serve a good God. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So we'd like to thank Sheikh Osama again for another beautiful lecture. Inshallah, we hope to see everybody again tomorrow, same time, 6 o'clock, inshallah. And then in the next couple nights, we'll have some more details and information regarding the potluck for the birth of Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, as was mentioned. So we'd like to thank everybody one last time. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.